right, James Kozad, welcome to the podcast, man.
Thank you.
You want to bring that in? Thank you. You can bring, pull in the whole thing.
Okay, I was like, I don't know how this works.
You're, all right, there you go. You're good.
Is that better?
Yeah, dude.
That right work? On.
Okay. All right, man. So you're in the, you just got your general contracting license. You're in the construction company. Dude, how was it for you to go from, I mean, you probably started in construction, just working for somebody, like working for people, right? How was it for you to go from like working in construction, like very blue collar, to be like a blue collar entrepreneur? That's very different.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to go that route. Throughout like high school and stuff, like my stepdad's a general contractor. My dad's just like really handy, just does everything his whole life. So it's kind of crazy coming home from like my mission basically. And just tried going to school, always hated school. I've wanted to have my own company since I was like in eighth grade or something. And I never wanted construction to be to be the route. But, you know, I had the skills and I had, you know, a lot of mentors, obviously, that could help me out through it. So, you know, just started off as being a handyman, basically, and then just got blessed with opportunities that just kind of led me here. So, it's crazy going, you know, just from like building fences all summer to all of a sudden, you know, doing large scale remodels and stuff for big clients. Like, you know, I don't know if I'm allowed to name them, like Silicon Slopes and stuff that. Like it's huge. So, it was overwhelming for sure.
Dude, that's crazy. What was the biggest surprise going from, you know, maybe, you know, if you're just doing handyman, you're doing little stuff right here and there, and it's not too crazy, but then going to these big projects and dealing with like being a business owner, going through all of that, like what was the biggest surprise?
The biggest surprise, I guess, I mean, I hope that every entrepreneur knows that like it's going to be a lot of work, but trying to do the physical work and your marketing and make sure you're getting your all your insurances down pat, and making sure you're paying the state as well as federal and everything, like, and trying just not to get fined or screwed over by anyone, dude. Like, it's been crazy. It's been like, I expected to learn a lot, but I honestly didn't think it was going to be this much.
Yeah.
So I see where people just, it's like, it's invaluable knowledge that most people just don't understand how much really goes into a business.
And not only that, but like a construction business, because there's permitting and licensing. Yeah. And if you're doing a remodel like that, you might have to go to the state to get permits or something.
Yeah.
So I maybe not on the inside, but something. Sure.
1,000%.
Yeah, dude. And that's wild.
It is.
Dealing with the state bureaucracy. We're service. Like, we don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But I would hate dealing with this any state.
Yeah. Well, it was crazy. What happened recently, actually, is that, you know, I had to extend my taxes, my business and personal, because I just didn't get it done on time.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't have a bookkeeper or anything. And so I went on and I had like 600 individual like transactions, you know, from my company that I had to go through over the last year.
Yeah.
Basically almost one by one to get them all in. And then I ended up like getting a fine from the state of Utah. I don't even know how much it was, honestly, because my my accountant like just bundled it in with me paying him. And it was nuts, man. And that was just because I have like, have you heard of, I think it's Gusto or Gusto or whatever.
Yeah,
have you heard of that?
Yeah.
So it's very, very large company that does a lot of different services for companies. So I had them doing all my payroll and all my taxes.
Yeah, Gusto. Yeah, they do that. Yeah.
And I don't know what happened, but they didn't pay my like third quarter from last year to the state of Utah. My federal's taken care of, but not state. And so I just got fined like, by the state for that. And like, dude, I don't know how to keep track of everything.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And they do, what are they? They have the coupons. So like you do your taxes and then they estimated taxes.
Yeah.
So they didn't pay your Q3 estimated
taxes. They didn't pay my Q3
estimated
taxes.
And what's crazy, you know, and this is like kind of boring stuff, but it's so crazy when I interview, you know, young entrepreneurs or just business owners in general who just don't understand the money side of things. Like that's the one thing that everybody's always shocked about.
Yeah.
It's like taxes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
government. Like shit, dude. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's better to be a smart businessman first before my opinion than almost be good at what you do. But
well, no, because you learn it and there's a lot of things then you do what you did. You just go get an account and you're like, dude, I need help.
Yeah.
Because that's the one thing I think you should splurge on. I think there's a couple things you should splurge on.
Yeah.
That's an accountant and a lawyer.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Because I don't know, man. I've been in some wild situations where they go, Because I mean, I got my degree in accounting, MBA in finance, and and it's like, I mean, there's stuff that they change it on a dime with us. Or we're like, dude, yesterday was this and today it's not. And
new rules, regulations,
that's kind of like
stuff.
And that's kind of like why when you know, I talk to accountants, like a relationship's also the name of the game, because then you have, you know, you know people and you can at least get, you can't get a pass, but you can at least get some grace, dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's
so okay, talk to me about education for a minute, because this is something I think gets overlooked a lot. Like you mentioned, you didn't go to like a traditional school, but there was probably a lot that you had to learn. And how did you go about learning that?
As far as trade wise or as far as like business wise?
Yeah, both, man. Both. Yeah.
So I guess how it kind of started is I wanted to drop out of high school when I was like a freshman. I wanted to just like live at home, just work like a normal job full time, save my money, and then get my CDL when I was like, this is like my actual plan. Like I pitched it to my parents and they wouldn't let me drop out, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, a good thing for them. Probably.
But I wanted to get my CDL, be a truck driver at like 18, 19, still live at home, save up money for another like 2 years. By the time I'm 20, I could put a down payment on like a fourplex or a multifamily unit and then live there and just
rent out, like house
just rent it out. You know, I was like by 20, you know,
hey, I'm going to be there. Hey, listen, I give my son kudos at 14. Yeah. If you came to me with that plan, that's a good plan. Like, no, but good plan, dude. I like it.
My mom, actually, I called her like a couple weeks ago and she told me, she's like, sometimes I wish I would have just let you drop out and do that because, you know.
So, well, like, yeah. And this is why I talk about it. Like, I'm kind of in the middle, right? Obviously. Sure. And I'm not saying this to impress anybody, but just to impress upon people the fact that, like, I have 2 degrees. I think there's a lot of value in college. But 100%. I also grew up in the – I grew up in Keokuk, Iowa. I grew up in the Midwest where, like, the high school degree and a welding certificate, you get certified as a welder coming out of high school. You get certified as a plumber and electrician coming out of high school. And so, like, dude, I got homies making mad money as a pipe fitter, pipe welder.
Oh, yeah.
Done, bro.
They make good money.
So, like, and what you said, what your mom said is just like really kind of eye opening. You're just like, maybe, you know, maybe that's what is it? You know what I mean? Like, because there is GED options, and I don't know, you could work, and I don't know. I'm not telling anybody go jump, drop out of high school, like, or whatever. True. But it's just, how did you feel about that? Like when you had that conversation there, how did you feel?
Like a couple of weeks ago, or when I was in high school?
Oh, both.
Both. When I was in high school, I don't want to necessarily diagnose myself, but probably got some sort of ADHD or something going on.
Yeah, sure.
I can compose myself when I want to compose myself, you know, but
welcome to the club.
There's so much energy. And I don't even want to say it's ADHD. I feel like that should just be like part of being a boy, man.
That's true though. That's
like
true.
Like just sitting down for like 8 hours and just shutting up all day. It is so tough.
And when you pitch it like that, it's bananas to think that we did that. Yeah,
it is. So, you know, it was good. So all throughout high school, I wanted to, you know, be an entrepreneur and stuff. And so I always had my eye on it, but ended up going to I actually did my own landscaping business when I was like 16. I was working with Papa Murphy's. It was my first job. I actually loved it. It was cool. But, you know, I wanted more experience. So I started mowing lawns and stuff. And, you know, I didn't really, it wasn't like a full-fledged thing because I ended up moving to a different part of the state. And, you know, life went on and school did too. But, you know, I just had a lot of experiences growing up where my stepdad had his own handyman company. And I don't know. I always wanted to do more than just a job. And that's nothing like anti-job or anything.
Sure. Yeah.
But, you know, for me, I'm just like, I especially with hating school, you know, and I will say like, it's definitely like a strong hate. I'm fine with using that word.
Yeah.
That I just didn't think there was a way for me to get everything I wanted in and out of life without owning my own company. So I've just kind of been like dead set on it ever since high school.
You went to a semester at BYU?
Yeah. I went to like 3 semesters.
3 semesters.
Yeah. BYU. And I love the school itself, actually. I actually really enjoyed being at BYU. I like the people, the professors were awesome.
There is something about the ambiance of being a college student, right? Yeah. Like the aesthetic of being a college student.
That's
that
true.
You like, right?
Yes.
So, okay. Yeah. Go do your thing.
So it was cool. I got a lot of good stuff out of the classes there. You know, I took accounting classes and stuff and that was all good. But, it just got to the point where I'm just like, I can't do this for nothing. You know, like I came home
you're
from
looking
my mission
at
and like zero money, literally nothing in my bank account.
Right.
Parents didn't give me any money, nothing. And so I'm like, did my first one full time just on loans. And then I'm like, all right, like I'm not living like this. Like this sucks.
Yeah. This sucks.
So then I went to part time, started working at like the MTC as a teacher, you know, which was
sweet. Dope.
Greatest job I've ever had in my life. And then, but it just got to the point where after doing part-time school and part-time work where I'm like, dude, like it's going to take me at this rate, like 2 decades to have any of the things that I want.
Yeah.
That's what I thought at least, you know?
Right, right, right. Which is
and,
fair. Yeah. Which
and
is fair.
You know, like by the time, like there's all these guys that seem like they had it together in the business school and everything. And they're willing to put in 60 hours a week to have perfect grades to get the best, not
whatever.
Sponsored,
yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
The best, connections and everything. And I'm like, that's not me, man. Like I'm willing to put in effort to get the connections and talk to people with, you know, and charm them over maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But just like grade wise, man, I'm like, I'm good with passing my classes and that's it. So that's when I kind of decided to just call it. But
okay. Well that, no, I mean, self-reflecting, self-awareness, like I could either do this or I could be, you know, I could half-ass this college thing or I could, in the words of Ron Swanson, full ass, you know what I'm saying? Being an entrepreneur. Yeah. And for some people that makes sense. I did both of my degrees online.
That's awesome.
So I worked 40 hours a week, and did school. And it took me a little bit longer to get my degree for sure.
Yeah.
But it was cool because I got to like learn, I got to like immediately apply things.
Yeah.
And you know what I learned though? Here's, you mentioned grades and I think it's kind of funny that you did because I had one job one time asked me about my GPA and I was going to work at Fidelity as one of their advisors.
Yeah.
And they were like, what was your accounting GPA? And I was like, okay, that made sense. And I had a pretty decent one. But other than that, dude, nobody gives a shit. Wow. They didn't ask me what classes I took. They didn't ask me what my GPA was. They didn't really care what the school was.
Yeah.
It was just a piece of paper. It was just
would've been nice to know back then, you know?
Well, listen. And this is
so
what
people don't tell you.
This is why school, the whole education system is so messed up. Yeah. It's because they don't tell you a lot of things. They don't, like, do you remember this in high school? We got three of us in here. Do you remember when they would say, like, you're not going to get away with that at college?
Oh, yeah.
Bullshit.
You could get it.
I got away with everything at college, man. Are you kidding me? I went a whole semester one time, didn't even know my professor's name.
Wow.
Didn't even know. Yeah. I never even talked to him.
Yeah.
I at the end of the class, they did a survey, and they were like, Professor so-and-so. And I was like, I emailed my advisor. I was like, who is this? They're like, what are you talking about? This is your professor. Like, haven't you been turning in your assignments? I'm like, yeah, but like, we don't put our professor's name on there.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Okay. But anyway, it was just funny because like, I didn't know anybody. Yeah. It was like, show up. It was very entrepreneurial, actually, my degree was. It was like, here's what everything that you need to get done. These are the deadlines. You figure it out. And it was
that's
like,
awesome.
And that's, I mean, you can attest to that as being a GC. It's like, this is all the things you need to get done. This is the timeline. Yeah. Have fun. Good luck.
Responsibility.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See you at the end, bro.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that they, but I also think sit down school is going to go away. There's no reason for that.
I hope so. I think it should go away.
You could do online. I mean,
don't think our government, idea of non sit down school.
Dude, talk about a racket, bro.
Yeah.
Talk about the definition of fraud.
Yeah.
Okay.
We better keep this out of the podcast.
No,
paying us a visit anytime shortly.
All right, dude. Tell me, so now you're a GC.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious about maybe someone like the day-to-day stuff. And like not only that, but what changed in your schedule when you had to do this? Because you mentioned this before, like you got to do all your marketing. Do you have like time blocks and stuff like that to figure
out? I should. That's always the answer. I don't know. I feel like it's just like starting any company. You just get kind of thrown into the fire and you just got to learn and make changes in the future. For my personal experience, being a first-time business owner. And so once I went from being a handyman to locking in like these sweet, expensive remodels are like there's no one else bidding or anything on it. It's like whatever I say goes, basically. And I had to
Why wasn't anybody else bidding? Because you just knew them. You were homies.
They knew me. They knew that compared to like the large companies that are going to be putting bids in, I was going to be way cheaper than anyone else. So I had some of my buddies that I did sales with actually call me.
I was going to ask you like, how did you learn sales? But you did pest. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I did pest.
That's good.
And so essentially I had a few of them call me and say, hey, like we like hate it out here. Like this is like the next summer, the following summer, right after I met him. And they're like, we want to leave. Like, would you hire me if I came home? And I'm like, I could have you on as soon as like 2 weeks. I'll have work for you. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. And so I had a few buddies come back home. I had a crew of 2 to 3 guys, not including myself. And because of that, this was my mistake. In hindsight, I'm still fine with how I did it because I learned a lot.
Yeah.
In hindsight, though, looking back, I had the chillest life, too. I was probably making anywhere from like $2,000 to $5,000 a week off of this commercial stuff. And that wasn't like super solid all the time. Sometimes
you wait for other
trades to come in and stuff. And, you know, so I wasn't really making any on some weeks. But essentially, I just like wake up at the same time my guys were getting to the site, make sure that everything's good. I'd visit the job site maybe once a day. And I'd just like basically like go work out.
Yeah, dude, chilling, dude.
Guns. I'd chill, you know? And in hindsight, I really wish I would have done a lot more to use more wise time so I could use that to my advantage, make more connections, you know,
right.
and get more work like that. But so it was definitely a learning curve and experience with that. But
yeah.
So I don't know. You know, it's been a lot more in the last few months where I've really had to hunker down because I haven't had a crew since like December. So like as of 6 months ago, I didn't have a crew anymore. And it was right when I needed them the most. We were tearing apart the ceiling for Silicon Slopes inside this commercial space. And it was like a triple layered ceiling. It was like 2 layers of drywall with like 1x4 planking going across the joists,
yeah.
you know, perpendicular throughout the entire like 2,900 usable square feet. I guess we only had to rip out maybe 2,000 square feet of it. And then there's lath and plaster on top of that from like literally from the early 1900s when that place was built.
Yeah.
So I did it almost on my own. I had a couple helpers every once in a while, but dude, it is brutal.
Yeah. That's crazy. I grew up with my grandpa who was a GC and I remember, doing a lot of projects with him. And dude, it like teaches you. I mean, I learned a lot of good things and it's great. And, but man, it's so damn hard. But you know what? You got to be really smart to do that. And it's just a different, I mean, and what people, you know, I don't know. There's, you know, you hear all the time, like there's book smart and then there's like street smart. But like you got, like, I remember looking at, I mean, and you probably have this experience too, but I remember looking at my grandpa and like, he just walked through a building and he could see the whole remodel in his head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, this needs to come out. Uh-huh. Like, holy shit, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And that's, dude, that's an art that like, it's not true. Everybody can walk through a building and be like, you know, and see in their mind's eye everything that already changed and then how to back into that. And that's wild, dude.
Yeah.
It's a good, it's good.
Yeah. It's good. If you can, the trick is marketing that, you know, cause there's so many contractors out there that like, especially general contractors get a bad rap because a lot of them aren't even construction guys. Honestly, they just know the people, they have the connections, which I mean, good for them. If they're making good money off that, like they're doing something right. But you know, that's where it's just tough when it comes to marketing. Cause you could be the greatest tradesman in the world and have the best skills doesn't mean that people are going to choose you.
Dude, I mean, we have this conversation every day. I've been in sales and marketing for 20, sorry. Mm-hmm. I've been in sales and marketing for over a decade, probably close to 11 or 12 years. And that's always the game. Like whenever I go train salespeople or like companies or corporations or whatever, it's always the same conversation at the beginning. Yeah. Like, dude, if I could just talk to somebody, I could close this deal. And it's like, well, anybody can do, like, not, no offense to anybody, you know, but of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I put somebody who wants GC in front of you, you're going to close the deal.
Yeah.
And so it's like, how do you find the people to do that, man?
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
To market?
Yeah, to market it.
Dude, I've tried a few things. I can't really say I've put a whole ton like of effort on like marketing,
worked? But like what's worked?
The biggest thing that has worked for me, honestly, most people say word of mouth. I've got like nothing from word of mouth, basically.
I don't like word of mouth.
Unfortunately, the best companies are the ones that do end up doing that. So for me, really, I've finished 2 projects basically at this commercial building and now I'm out. That'll be another fun thing to talk about.
Okay, go. Let's go.
Honestly, I tried a lead service, Angie's List, dog.
Just yeah, dude. Yeah, that's
terrible.
That's bad.
For homeowners, great. You know, there's like thousands of contractors on there,
but it's not great. Like, what do you do with 1,000 options? Yeah, dude, I don't know what the hell. I'm going to get off of Angie's list. That's stupid. Yeah. I don't like, I don't like that. I like, you know what I mean? Anyway, but keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. So that one, I'm paying like $400 a month. They send me however many leads they end up sending me. I don't have any control over it. And they're sending it to probably 10 to 15 contractors.
Yeah. That same lead goes to everybody.
Yeah. So you're just in a bid war with everyone, ton of tire kickers. No one's ready to do their projects. Like, yeah, we just want to see how much it's going to cost. And, you know, and I'm like, that's not my job. So I've tried that. Recently I, had Enrique come over and my big mistake is I didn't set up Google right away. I thought I did, but I haven't been verified on Google since I built my own website over a year ago.
That's man.
That is where I killed myself. That is where I've killed
the Google myself. My business thing. Dude.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm kind of, honestly, I feel unfortunately like I'm almost back to square one with starting my business over again.
So what do you do at square one to market, dude? You do all the stuff that you got through the first ones.
I've literally like, you know, applied or whatever, like 10 separate, like community pages on Facebook. Post on there. I'm really I'm trying to find enough handyman work to pay the bills.
Yeah.
You know, more like the smaller things I can go in, keep my overhead low, and just make easy money and a few hours here, a few hours there.
Yeah.
But what I really am trying to do now is more so find either other general contractors to work with that if I build a good enough relationship will kind of be the same thing as it was for me in commercial, where they're not looking for anyone else. Most people genuinely want one person to deal with. They don't want to deal with a ton of different people. So if you can find a company that already has work for you and they sub it out to you or however you want to do it, even if you end up subbing it out to someone else, you know, you want to find someone that is going to consistently be bringing you work every single time, and they're not going to find competition with you.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for more general contractors like that. Looking like to connect with them.
Yeah. Have you ever network? Have you ever been to Guyver?
Guyver? No, I haven't heard of it.
Oh, okay. Let me introduce you to these guys. Okay. Guyver's legit. And then another guy I want to introduce you to, his name's Taylor.
Perfect.
Legit, dude. Because it really is like the name of the game of this is like, dude, it's just like who you know, man.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people. And then it's also funny because you do have to have some of like the basics of marketing kind of taken care of. Right?
That's true.
But like a lot of people don't know that, dude. It's crazy. Yeah. Like somebody should invent a college where you like go to school for business or something and they teach you.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I didn't learn shit in business school. I actually got my MBA. I didn't learn dick. And dude, it was wild. I mean, I learned a couple
goes right out the door once you get hired by someone.
Well, no, what's funny about that is like it's a lot of high level stuff.
Okay.
Right. And so like, you know, MBA in finance. So like a lot of high level strategy and a lot of high level like finance and maybe some stuff like that. That doesn't really apply to like you, for example.
That's fair.
But the knowledge that I have from that just came from a lot of like experiencing the back end of that and then just being a salesman, dude.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like dude, you know what's crazy? I saw GC sending out some little people knocking doors.
Yeah.
You want a kitchen? You want a remodel?
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, dude, that's wild.
I've got like 900 flyers that I'm ready to go hand out.
That's
but
great. It's great. Listen, print is back.
It's been like my least preferred avenue. I know it works. The thing is I know it would work if I did that. It's getting myself to pound doors again. And it's my biggest thing that I'm just like, I know that if I put my face in front of people and didn't just like drop flyers off at the door, but if I knocked on doors and actually sold myself, that could work for commercial too. If I go into these old downtown spaces.
But like also that's a great pitch, dude. It's like, hey, I'm actually not here to sell you anything. I just wanted to drop off a flyer. I'm a general contractor in the area. If you ever need any help, I'm here.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's such a soft approach that most people appreciate it.
That's
because
true.
Here's the thing. Here's the counterintuitive way to sell is like, you just say things that people aren't expecting. Yeah. Like, I actually just wanted to give this flyer. I know a lot of them get lost. Not here to sell you anything. Like, have a great day. You just like start walking off. Like, wait. Well, like, what do you do? And it's like, that's kind of how like, you know, that's how I like to sell, dude.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you just say stuff. Like one of my favorite, I say this all the time, but like one of my favorite things to say when somebody says they don't have any time is like, somebody's like, I don't have enough time. Oh, thank God, me either.
Yeah. You know? Get out of there. Yeah.
Like, you know, and then they're not expecting it. They're expecting you to say like, oh, well, just give me 10 minutes. I'll like, dude, me either. So if I pitch this in 60 seconds, we'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. Then I can that, right? I'm ready. Like I have a 60 second pitch. And anyway, it's just funny though.
Yeah. Like this is something I've actually been experimenting with. And I actually just sitting here, this is why stuff like this is good, is it gets the brain just is flowing again. You know?
Right, right, right.
Something I did recently that I think I need to do more often is, so there's this, I'm sure everyone has, knows acai bowls, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They're wonderful. They're amazing. There's a place that I love in Provo and they have a shared bathroom with like bok chicken or something like that, uh-huh. right? And I've been in there and their bathrooms, their shared bathrooms, disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, terrible.
Yeah.
And so I talked to the store manager of this place called Bowl Superfood, right? And she gave me the number of the store owner so I could find out who owned the property.
Yeah.
So and suggest them to either do like tenant improvement, you know, where the tenants pay for it and then get reimbursed through rent or whatever, you know, or just get to call them. And unfortunately, it's really creative, but you know, the guy never got back to me. I tried, I tried looking up the LLC who owned it online and I found it. And, but it took me to like the,
creative dude. Yeah. But you know, what's hard though, in your defense, only the only reason I know this is because, and Enrique's, but we worked in franchising. Commercial real estate is ridiculous. Like I had so many people say like the landlord wouldn't even call me back.
Oh my
God. He would like one guy was like, I'll pay whatever you want. I'll pay exactly what's advertised. Just call me. And they wouldn't call him.
Yeah. That's terrible.
So like, don't knock yourself too hard for that.
Because it was hard getting a hold of their office, man. It got me in touch with like the real estate agent. And then I like, she didn't pick up her phone. So I left a message. Nothing.
Dude, yeah, they just yeah, like, people just like, it's wild.
Yeah. It's wild. I'm sure it's a numbers game, just like any sales is, you know? It's
But also it's like you know, it is a numbers game, but it's also like, are we calling the right people numbers?
That's
game,
fair.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's super fair,
dude.
Yeah.
But I like that, man. And I also, you know, it's also good to kind of have these conversations because you just get to like know, you know, the ins and outs, and like Google My Business is a big one. And dude, I think, you know, and just partnering up with people who can elevate it and then just work. But dude, Utah's got a lot of like entrepreneurs in the state.
It does.
Isn't that wild?
It makes it really tough. People here are, I'm sure in a lot of ways it's great. You know, I mean, it encourages competition and everything. But people in Utah like spending their money where they like spending their money, and they're very stingy in other ways.
Oh yeah, you know? Absolutely. And so 100%.
I've got people that they expect a GC to work for like 30 an hour, and I'm like, dude, that doesn't even cover like half of my insurance.
Yeah.
For the month, you know, like I don't know what you're talking about. It's
isn't that wild, bro? I've never experienced that except for, I mean, a couple parts outside of Utah, but never really experienced how like crazy. That's probably my biggest gripe is like, they're like, oh, what? GC, my grandpa can do that for a dollar. Yeah. You're like, all right, then get your damn grandpa in here. Exactly. Why the hell did you call me? Like, actually, that's my first, that's why I actually, oh, that's crazy. Your grandpa does that? Well, what am I here for?
Yeah.
Like, well, hold on. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. That's why I also, that's why I love just like the countering those things where you're just like, oh, okay, cool. Like grandpa can do it for a dollar. Okay, great. See you later.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, dude. It's kind of like that I don't know, man. Cause you don't want to work with those people either.
No.
Do you ever turn down bid? You're like, nah, I'm not bidding on that. I mean, maybe not right now, but
there's some jobs I will, but it's more because it's something that I don't really want to do.
They're like,
well, we want you to like do drywall and this and that. And I'm like, I've got a guy to do my drywall. Like I don't want to touch that. You know,
dude, drywall's stupid hard.
Yeah.
I don't like drywall.
Yeah.
I also don't like insulation.
Yeah. Insulation's not fun. Insulation's not fun at all. Yeah. It's terrible.
That is terrible.
But
kudos to the guys who can do that.
Yeah.
Like how some people think about accounting is how I feel about insulation.
Yeah. You don't want to be itchy all day?
No.
You don't want to go home and itch?
I had to do that one time. Now they have the blow insulation or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But even that sucks. Better. But even that sucks, dude.
Yeah.
You're just it's terrible.
Yeah.
But no, dude, that's wild, man. And I got some really good advice one time that from a business owner who was like, I wish that I would have said no earlier to like bad clients.
Yep.
And I was like, what do you mean? Like, he was like, they were like, I was really desperate for money. I was going to take any gig that mm-hmm. I could. And it was ended up just like people not paying, people being too picky, you know, deeper. Like, yeah, dude, it's so hard to hear that at the beginning. You're like, yeah, it is. You know, like, okay. Like,
I'm willing to take a hell on this one if I get a good review, you know, and then they give you a bad review.
Anyway, they give you a bad review. Yeah. And then don't pay you. It's like, bro. And those people exist out there. People and like people you never think is like, but I understand too. I'm also empathetic to the other side of it where it's like, yeah, okay, $1 million a year GC, tell me to say no.
Yeah, or whatever. Of course.
Just shut up.
Yeah.
You just gotta be willing to do it and then, you know, follow your intuition on that one, dude. But yeah, that's wild, fair. Dude. I think what would be cool is to like help the conversation and everything. Tell us like what, tell us like anything else. Like we asked you something surprising, but like what else have you learned since being a business owner, dude?
Oh dude, it's been a lot.
Yeah.
Obviously one of the most simple ones is like, it's all about who you know. That's huge.
Yeah.
You know, meeting other people, but
that's right.
Like I feel like I don't know how people would ever start a business without like mentors.
Yeah. You got a few of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I already mentioned a couple of them. Enrique is kind of one of them. I talk to him a lot, you know, but also other GCs. Like I've got a lot of hits on one of the Facebook posts that I made that taught it. Honestly, I was like, cause what I really want to do is I don't want to just be like going to job after job for the rest of my life. Like this is not the end goal for me.
Yeah.
Contractor. I want to use it in order to like build some sort of equity or like, you know, put in, use my knowledge to essentially build, whether it's multifamily units, whether it's other properties, like rentals,
commercial. Yeah.
Yeah. Like leverage my skills. And instead of getting paid hard cash for it, being able to get something that I can eventually use to get either passive income or to borrow against, you know, to get more real estate or something.
Like that. Yeah. You want to get into like
that. So instead of posting on all these things that like, hey, I'm just looking for work. You know, I've been posting that, hey, I'm looking to make connections with real estate agents, with other general contractors that want to be in a partnership or with investors to get some deals done.
Yeah.
Essentially. Cause if I can just, I can find enough like little handyman work here.
Yeah.
There,
yeah. That's
again, to pay the bills. But I want to like fast track everything. And so I wouldn't know anything about that if it weren't for asking, you know, like a lot of business owners, including myself, sometimes I feel like we feel like in order to sell ourselves, we have to act like we know more than we do. But it's surprising how much like other business owners want to just like share their knowledge.
Yeah.
They just want to share their knowledge.
Yeah, that's so
like,
true.
Like, they don't care about getting anything out of it. I was on the phone with another general contractor that doesn't want to self-perform his work. Mm-hmm. And he's going after like large government contracts, essentially, and wants to give it all to me. You know, he's like, I'll have you do everything. Whatever you want to do, you want to do the finish work, done. Framing, done. I talked to him for like, and he's like a decade older than me. You know, mm-hmm. he's like 33 or something. And I'm 24. And so he just shared everything.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
His experiences. He's worked for the big guys before and now he's deciding to do his own thing. And it's huge.
So. Dude, that's wild. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand either.
Yeah.
I started this podcast with that premise, which was like, anybody will talk to you if you just ask them.
Yeah.
And if there's something in it for them. And it sounded like in this case, he was going to get help and he was willing to give you all of his knowledge in exchange for you taking whatever the work.
Yeah.
Because I mean, a lot of people don't understand that. Like, yeah, it's like, it helps you, but people also understand that it helps them too. Like they don't want to be doing this. And business owners. Yeah, dude. People will open up to you a lot and they'll just give it to you freely. Sometimes stuff you don't even like ask for, they'll just be like, oh, and another thing, this is going to come up. And by the way, this is what you're going to want to do.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, whoa, dude, I would have never thought of that.
Yeah.
That's wild, bro.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that more people should just like be like, I don't know, just get out there and I don't know. Nobody's really thinking about, there are not a lot of gatekeepers out there. Like nobody's really thinking about how they cannot do this. Right.
Yeah.
Because everybody lives in that abundance mindset. You know what I mean?
It's true.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy. And not only that, but like people also think when you when you're talking to them like that, they get to talk about themselves and they get to learn new things too. I mean, it's kind of wild, dude.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's true.
Yeah.
No, but it's
how do your parents feel about you being an entrepreneur now?
Better than they used to.
really?
Yeah.
Were they concerned? Were they like, oh shit?
So here's the deal, and this isn't anything against either side of my family, but my mom and my stepdad have always been very supportive of the entrepreneurial thing.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was very much like, he's had a job since he's like 10 years old.
Yeah.
You know, like he didn't have, his parents were divorced and stuff. And my grandma wasn't, you know, unfortunately the best provider, mother, or anything. And so he was like, started off like fixing like commercial washers and dryers.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like
machines
at like 10 years old. Whoa. You know, then all his money goes to his mom.
Yeah.
That's so he's just been working for someone else his whole life. And I admire him for that,
yeah.
You know, but all throughout high school, he's like, well, you know, maybe you should just go get a job. You know, you should just go get a job, and maybe you shouldn't try doing this or that, because in all reality, you just want to provide for a family. And that's all that matters, you know, which in the big picture, you know, that probably is the most admirable thing, is, you know, taking care of a family.
Yeah.
But again, I just knew that I wasn't going to be happy. But now that I'm here and doing it, they've been a lot more supportive.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's talk about that for a minute, because a lot of it, I'm kind of in a phase where I'm doing a lot of stuff with fathers and dads, mm-hmm. and things like that. And you have a point there, but here's the big thing about like being the difference between, and I heard this on a podcast, but, and from a couple therapists, but mm-hmm. the difference between women's mental health, like mm-hmm. solving that problem. So like women want to feel safe. They want to feel secure. They want to feel like, you know what I mean? That's and there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
they want to feel love, and they want to feel accepted.
Yeah.
And then they want to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. And mm-hmm. that's how we have to treat our wives. And that's what we do. Yeah. Men, while those things are nice, like we don't necessarily care about safety.
Yeah.
And love and acceptance is great, but we more want to feel powerful and capable.
Yes.
So
respected.
Yeah. And we want to have those things. And then it goes back to this. What Jordan Peterson, how he said it was beautiful, was like men, you know, man specifically. I know sometimes in religious texts, man means both, mm-hmm. right? But in this case, it was specifically man, I think, mm-hmm. does not live by bread alone.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, it's not enough for a guy to provide for his family.
Yeah.
Like, it is honorable, but like at the same time, like men need to have purpose. Yes. They need to feel like they can do things, like they have the autonomy and that they're powerful enough to do that. And it's not like a tyranny thing. It's not like this dominance thing. You know what I mean? Like, oh, let me tell you, this one blew my mind, dude. I'm still tripping over it. I had a gentleman in my other Facebook group, the Fatherhood Podcast group. He said, how do you expect to lead people if everyone's afraid of you? He's like, imagine going up to a lion for protection.
Yeah.
Like, you would never do that.
Yeah.
And so he was like, you know, powerful people are leaders, and that power is to like guide people and lead people and through love and things like that. And I was like, dang, dude, that was tripping me out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wild one. But but it's kind of like that, right? And so back to your point of like, because I feel the same way. Like, I always tell people, my why isn't my family, because if I have real family.
Yeah.
And if I ever hit the rock bottom, would my kids or wife leave me?
Mm.
No, there's at this point in my marriage, like the answer is no.
Yeah. That's awesome.
You know what I mean? So
huge.
Why? I mean, like, we can live in poverty and be happy and love each other.
Mm-hmm.
So like my thing, but I don't want that to happen, but that's why my why is like my passion and what I feel like I do it for is like the progression in me. Like, this is what keeps me sane.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You feel the same way?
Oh, 1,000%. So I'm getting married next Saturday. So
good for you.
Week and a half, we're filming the deal, right?
Let's go. Let's go.
And that's actually a talk that we just had. You know, I love my fiance with all my heart. She's amazing. Yeah. She is very supportive.
Yeah.
But she does, especially as a young woman with our whole life ahead of us, it's easy to think about right now and not so much, you know, 10, 20 years down the road, because it can take that long to build something sustainable.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully not. That's right, not the plan, but you know, it could happen. And you know, it's really easy to just be able to think, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm getting married. Maybe I should just focus on paying the bills first. I can go be like a project manager at another company, make 60, 70K a year, and we can have a good life. you know, and then maybe I'll be able, like, I'll have more experience. And, yeah, and that's the easy thing to think is I'll be more experienced if I go work for the big guy and then I'll go do my own company. Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. That doesn't really happen very often. Once you get into that, it's really difficult once you start living a lifestyle.
You just get real comfortable, dude.
It's like, you do.
Oh, this is easy, bro.
You do. And I'm so afraid of being comfortable like that. I'm like, I like the days where if I want it to be a marketing day, I can just stay home and market from home. You know, be on the phone whenever I want, you know, just kind of use my time how I want to, you know, if I have something coming up, if I want to go snowboarding during the wintertime, I can tell people knocking me on the job site tomorrow, you know, tomorrow I'm not working between these hours. I've got commitments, you know, and, that's what I want to do.
Yeah. You just have autonomy. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it does come down to that though, exactly what you said, you know, so I'm hoping to have that relationship like you got with your wife.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of the thing. That's kind of where you're tested though. Is like, we've always been, but you know, I don't know, our relationship's not perfect, but it's great because we know that about each other now. And what's cool though, is you really get that conversation though, because there is a way for it to work. Like, because I'm an entrepreneur, I have a lot of ovens in the fire, or excuse me, things in the fire all the time. Mm-hmm. And, but we still find a way to make, you know, the safety there, but also like I can get unleashed a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I can go out and like do things and take little bits of risk. Yeah. But dude, now is the time. I don't know, dude, now's the time. Like, you don't have any kids or anything. It gets hard. Like, I only have two kids. But it's just harder, dude, because you're like, man, now it's not about me anymore.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, now how do I balance? And this is something we talk about in the group, but how do we balance like the needs of your family and my needs? Like, because if I'm not cool, like if I'm not straight with myself, like it's really hard to be all of the things I need to be in my marriage and in my family. You know what I'm saying? So it's a balancing act, dude. It's very difficult.
Oh, I believe it.
Crazy.
That's one of the things I'm most nervous about, you know?
Yeah.
That's one of the most frequent talks that we have is obviously when we're talking about the future, it's like, well, like I want you to be a full-time mom too. She wants to be a full-time mom.
Sure.
It's great. I support that. Yeah. And it's like, but if that's going to be the case, and if we want to have this type of lifestyle, then like, we need to help each other as much as we can now so that we can have that. And so that I can feel like I'm being a good enough provider,
right?
You know, as a father by the time that time comes. So it's just, you know,
Dude,
it's a fun conversation.
Well, yeah. And no, but they're good. And it's cool that you're having them. I talked that you want to hear a scary stat.
Yes.
Not that don't take this any type of way. It just came to my mind. I interviewed a marriage therapist one time, marriage counselor one time. And he said, couples who go to therapy before they're married, he said, like some astronomical number, like 80%, 70-80% don't end up getting married.
Wow.
And he was like, that's crazy. I was like, that's crazy. What happened? He's like, no, he's like, that's the best. I wish it was, you know, or whatever number, but he was like, it's a great number because you avoid that in the future because you have those hard talks in therapy that you didn't think you needed to have. Like, do we need to have this conversation? But it's like, yeah, dude, if we're going to do this, we got to have some kind of game plan of like, you know, cause my wife doesn't work outside the home. She does that thing, but it's a different dynamic, you know, again, like kind of like what you're saying. It's like, well, sweetheart, well, this is the lifestyle we've chosen to have. And it's, you know, and this is definitely not for everybody. Everybody do their own thing in their marriage. We don't give a shit. But like, if we were to do this in our family, like we got to have some trade-offs. Like, I might not be there for dinner every once in a while. I might not do this. Like,
we're definitely going to sun up to sundown.
Yeah. And if you're cool with that every once in a while, like, and then that's when this illusion of balance gets thrown out the window. Like there's no such thing, right? You're just present. So when it's wife time, 100% wife time. When it's kid time, 100% kid time. When it's work, 100% work. I'm not, I gotta be, you know what I mean? I have to be fully present and committed to whatever I'm doing at that moment. And then when I'm switching, I've got to be 100%. So it's not really a balancing, because one of the things about, you know, being a husband and being a dad is like, that I don't know, this is my experience. It's quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, my wife, my wife could be like, you know, we're like laying in bed, you know, for like 2 hours watching a movie. And my wife could get up the next morning and she's like, I don't feel like we really hung out.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, hold on. We watched a movie for 2 hours. We were snuggling the whole time. You're like, what the hell? And then she's like, no, I didn't feel like it though. Yeah. But that's like, laugh at it, but like,
yeah, for her, that's real.
Yeah. But it's real. Like, but then I go and I'm laughing. It's really happened. It's funny. And her and I laugh about it too. But then there's other times when I'm like 15 minutes, like, or like 30 minute lunch date. Like, she meets me wherever I'm at and we go to lunch and we don't have phones and we just talk. Mm-hmm. And dude, she forgets about me the rest of the day. She's like, I was there versus, you know, we weren't there. We were just watching a movie or whatever.
That's true.
So, you know, sometimes, and my kids, dude, like 5-10 minutes and with my son and he's great or whatever. But like, that's the other thing is like my daughter, dude, she doesn't care if I go to work.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter was like, you ask my daughter, like, what's daddy like? He works too much. Like, that's what my daughter will say to you.
Dang, yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of checks you, but it also is a reminder that like, that my kids don't know the difference between 20 grand a year and 100 grand a year.
That's true.
They just want me.
Yeah.
They don't know and they honestly don't care. They don't know the difference. And if they did, they wouldn't care. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just something that, you know, that I always think about. Mm-hmm. It's about being a dad and being a provider and something like that. And
yeah,
it's kind of fun to think about.
Yeah. No, I love that.
Dude, it's wild.
It's a lot to think about for sure.
Dude, it's wild. Yeah. I interviewed a guy who was about to have a baby. He was like you, but like in a week he was having a baby. And like,
oh,
it was wild, dude. I don't know. I'm not, my daughter is 6, almost 7. My son's 5. It's crazy, bro. Crazy, dude.
I can't believe it.
You, what are you excited about getting married? Were you nervous about getting married?
Dude, this has been, and hopefully if she ends up listening to this, she's okay with me. She doesn't like me sharing too much about the relationship. I feel like these are probably pretty typical for most people. Yeah. But like, as a man that like, I'm a freedom guy for sure. Like I do like I am a homebody. I like spend a lot of time at home, but like I had to, like I sold my motorcycle and stuff. Like I had a race bike, you know, and I'm like, I love that thing. I love adrenaline and she doesn't. We don't have like any hobbies that we do together at all.
Yeah. And my wife and I don't.
And so that's the thing is that's been one of the largest concerns, but I have talked to a lot of people who's like, yeah, like it's really not as bad as you think. Like you end up finding things you do together and it's, you're able to have your own time doing the things you love where you don't have to feel crowded by your partner. I'm like,
me and my wife, opposite sides of the spectrum. I'm super extroverted, do a podcast like this, I do stand-up comedy, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. My wife gets anxiety when there's more than 5 people in the room that aren't family members.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she likes to go to the gym, and obviously, I hate the gym, right? Just kidding. Like, I would rather do jujitsu or, like, you know, boxing or wrestling or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and she's like, come to the gym with me. And I'm like, I don't want to go to the gym. We just had this conversation. I was like, I literally told her, I hate the gym. I'll go if you want me to go because you're my wife and we'll go. But, like, I will not enjoy it. She's like, well, don't come then. I'm like, all right.
Well, you got those Hawaiian jeans. You're already stronger than everyone else at the gym, man. Like, there's no purpose.
Like, I'm like, I just don't want to waste. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
But no, like, I don't know. For me, it's not. I don't know. Because things will come together too. Like, there are things that like, my wife and I like I said, we're totally opposite. We were raised totally different. Like, we're totally, totally different. But it's worked out because we've also had to like come together in the middle. Like, my wife raised very conservative LDS. Mm-hmm. I was raised LDS, but I was raised LDS in Iowa.
Yeah.
My grandpa swore from the pulpit. Yeah. Our young men's leader took a smoke break in between the 3 hours. You know what I'm saying? Not the same. Not the same.
Yeah.
Completely, you know what I mean? Different. And so we've kind of met in the middle. Like, I've had to tone it down. Like, all right, I can't do a lot of that stuff. And she's kind of toned it down, and we've kind of met in the middle to raise our kids very moderately or whatever.
Yeah.
But also a lot of things that we didn't think we would enjoy, we enjoy now. And so, it just takes time. I don't know. My thing is like with marriage is totally counterintuitive, but it goes along with this whole thing, which is like, don't take it too seriously. Just like have fun.
Yeah.
That's, you know, like,
appreciate that advice.
Yeah. A lot of things are like, you're going to have a ton of problems. One of them should not be worrying about all the problems you might have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just tackle them one at a time. And I mean that respectfully, like everybody goes through, everybody goes through it and that's just part of being a dad though. You know what I mean? And being a husband. And dude, crazy, because that's just what's been on my mind lately because of this new podcast or whatever. But yeah, being a dad is wild, dude. Being a husband's wild. Mm-hmm. It just changes a little bit.
Yeah.
You definitely got to, like, you definitely have to learn about like women, They also don't, you know what I mean? Like, they're different, and that's okay.
Do you have any sons? Or you mentioned your one. Okay.
I have a boy, yeah, and I have a girl. Okay, let me tell you, I'm going to say the most controversial thing I've ever said on this podcast right here. Yes, you ready? I'm going to get canceled. But
perfect.
But, like, there is a stark difference between my son and my daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, night and day, and I didn't teach them anything. Like,
yeah.
I didn't teach. Like, I actually put my daughter in jiu-jitsu before I let my son go to wrestling and stuff.
Oh, wow.
I put my daughter in, like, because, like, in the traditional sense, like, I'm a feminist. Like, I want women to feel powerful. I want them to have their space in the workplace. I want them to do all these things. Mm-hmm. But, like, then eventually my daughter's like, I don't want to do jiu-jitsu. I want to dance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't, my wife danced, but, like, all right, go dance, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then my, you know, and I'm like, all right. And I didn't do that. Like, I was actively, like, putting her in combat sports. And she still does it because I think it's good for her. But, and then my son, like, I didn't, like, I was actually more soft with my son than I was my daughter.
Wow.
And I would babied him. And
really?
Then he started punching me in the face. And I'm like, I didn't do any of that. Like, I didn't teach my son, you know. But, like, they have there's those genes.
Yeah.
That, like, my son's really aggressive, and my daughter's temperament, like, she, you know, and my son is more aggressive, my daughter's more assertive. And that's, like, the difference between men and women. My daughter loves to play with people, and she loves meeting people, and she loves, you know, being a people person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a trait, you know, of a girl, a feminine trait. And my son, he likes to play with, you know, he likes to go do his own thing.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, dude, it's just crazy, man. But you do. But, like, I've never understood why we try to, like, combine things anymore. Like, I do think women should have their own spaces.
Yeah.
And I think agree. That's important. And I think that men having their own spaces is also important.
Yeah.
And then there's a time when you come together.
1,000%.
You know what I mean? Like, what 1,000%.
Look, there's all this stuff. I don't know. You can stop me at any time you want.
I don't care, bro. Go ahead.
The story I've seen over and over on social media is with, like, that transgender swimmer, male, that, like, tied with, like, the first place female.
The whole
he got to pose with the trophy and stuff, and she didn't for the sake of thing. I'm like, man, just, like, let people compete in their own space.
Everybody
should compete
have,
in their own look, space.
Dude, you did know? You see that, by the way? Did you see that? We can fact check this, but did you see that sports team, the Ryan Reynolds sports team?
Oh yeah,
the men's recreational team versus the women's.
I saw that today.
I was like, dude, I mean, look, let women play in the playing their league, dude. It's not bad. Like, why are we trying to do, like, it's not fair. It's not fair. It's not funny. Like, to me, it's like, just let, you just want, cause it's not fun to lose that bad, dude. I've been in positions where you just
my gosh,
dude, end it, man. Just beat me.
Like, I literally told my fiance in times when we're playing games, I'm like, I will not play this with you. Cause I'm like, your feelings will get hurt and I'll get in trouble for it. And then I'm going to have a terrible night.
I don't want to, or you're like, dude, it's like, I don't like losing that bad. I want to feel like I'm competing. I want to feel like I can win. I'd rather lose by 1 than by 100, dude.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I don't know. Yeah. All of this stuff is wild, but that's just something that, because I deal with fathers a lot and dads and fatherhood and husbands and stuff, just because I deal with that a lot, you just can't treat these situations the same, because what I've found out too is, like, in marriage is, like, your wife, you know, this will be the, if you haven't experienced it, you will. And it's the craziest thing I've ever experienced, is, like, your spouse will come up to you and they'll be like, I felt this way. And you're just going to be like, what? Or they're like, you did that. Or like, my wife, the first time, we've been married for like 8 years, 9 years. And the first time, it happened, my wife was like, you did this to me. And I was like, what are you talking about? I don't have any memory of that. I've never. And then she said it, like, she described the event that I remembered. I was like, yeah, I remember that. She's like, yeah, you did that to me. And I was like, whoa. Like, we just saw things differently. And that was the craziest thing. And so, like, that's why when people are like, communication is the biggest thing, I didn't understand that. I was like, well, yeah, we'll talk to each other. But, like, no. Like, communication is a big thing, because you guys didn't see the same, you didn't experience the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's wild, dude. That was crazy for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, and then my wife feels like I'm, like, being disrespectful, but I'm being truthful. Like,
you see what it is.
Like, well, no, I was just like, yeah, we just have different perspective. And that's why you got to kind of come in the middle. But I don't know, dude, being a father, being a husband's great. I love it. And being a father and an entrepreneur has its own bag of weeds that, and by the way, I think this is the most useful advice that I've ever gotten about being a husband or a dad or a father. It's like, this is the advice. Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. Like, please do not look at somebody and be like, they got it all figured out, man.
Yeah.
Like they do not have it figured out. They actually do what we all do. Sit down with their wife.
Roll with the punches.
Sit down with their wife. Talk about it every night. Figure out how to get better the next day until they die. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
we have,
you went on a mission. Enrique went on a mission. We have companion study every night. Just like you always do, because we're trying to figure out each other. Cause like, how do you figure someone out? Right.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't even know, like, I'm trying to figure out who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to figure out who I am. You're trying to figure out who I am. You know, and it's even crazier. The world is trippy, dude.
It is.
Anyway, I know we went on a tangent, but you're good, dude. I'm happy.
So.
I'm happy to be interviewed, you, Doc. So before I let you go, though, tell everybody where they can find you, if they want to get involved, where they can do that.
Yeah. You can find me on Google. Just look up Cozad Enterprises. And you'll find me. I am still technically on Angie's list. I'm on Thumbtack as well.
Thumbtack.
I'm trying to think of, I know I've set up a few things, but.
But you got Facebook. Can they find
I've you? I've got Facebook.
Facebook and all that stuff.
You can look up James Cozad, and my page will be on my page as well. So it'll say like Cozad Enterprises, Remodel and Handyman.
Right on, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on,
bro. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.